Please help me welcome J. Lauren Norris.
Have you ever applied for a job and been told, yeah, you're just not the right candidates for this job? I mean, maybe it's because you didn't score high enough on the SAT or the ACT test. Maybe because your ASVAB wasn't there. Maybe they just don't like the way you wear your hair or the color of your shoes. It's really hard to tell sometimes why you don't get hired for a job. But sometimes you've just got to have a certain kind of grit, a certain kind of determination, a certain willingness to say, okay, not this one, maybe the next one. Well, there are a lot of different ways of looking at leadership. Today, I want to give you 6 essential skills to being a successful leader in 2024. I know there's a whole lot more than 6, but without these 6, you don't stand a chance. Stay tuned. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast. And I've told the story before about being in the Air Force at my first training base after basic training. When I got there, because I'd been a dorm chief, they gave me a rope on my shoulder that said, basically, you're a leader. You're responsible for a certain group of people. You've got to answer to the people up the chain from them, and you've got to tell them what they're supposed to do. And one particular day, I brought my team, the people I was responsible to, back to the dorm room. And as we walked in the door, we were all still in full uniform in our combat boots. And one of the rope leaders, the sergeant who was in charge of all the people with the ropes, was yelling at me that my guys were not ready for PT yet. And I said, this particular group has a PT exemption because they're all firefighters. And we drill physically 8 hours a day at the fire training ground. And then we march 2.5 miles back from the fire department to our dorm. And we just got back. So we more than exceed what your expectations are for PT. We do it every single day. And he began to dress me down in front of everybody in the room, screamed at me, yelled at me, told me I didn't know what leadership looked like. And I looked at him and I said, if a leader just means being a tyrant, I'm not interested. If there's no conversation about what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, it just means do what you're told. I'm not interested in that kind of leadership. And I took my rope off and I handed it to him. I was an airman basic. They had already asked me in my first year if I would come back and be a drill sergeant in basic training, because I have a strong commanding voice and I understood that kind of thing. And I said, I don't think that's the kind of person I want to be. I'm not drill sergeant material. Now, if you were to ask my kids when they were younger, they would have said, no, he would have been a good drill sergeant because he yelled a lot. And I did. I don't do that anymore. I used to yell a lot. Now it's usually only like yesterday when I got stuck in a fire ant bed because I had to put water in my radiator on the side of the road and didn't realize I was staying in ants. Now I have about 400 ant bites around my ankles. Welcome to Texas. I yelled then. I definitely yelled then at the ants. I don't think they cared. But I'm going to tell you from that day forward, when I was 21 years old, barely 21 years old, and learning what it meant to be a leader in the military until today, there are a whole lot of things that I've researched, that I've studied, that I've observed, that I've witnessed, that I've lived through, mistakes that I've made, relationships that I've damaged, things that I've learned along the way, that I think if you could just master these 6 very basic. Now, if you have spent any time around me at all, you know I study leadership. I have a few 1,000 books. That's not even 1/4 of the books that I have. But that whole section right, this right here, that's all John Maxwell, Dale Carnegie, Stephen Covey. It's all leadership stuff. And I've been studying it for 3 decades plus now. And I can tell you there's a whole lot more than 6 skills. There's a whole lot more than 6. In fact, the number one best-selling book on leadership right now is John Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. If you have not read that book, go get it today. I don't care if you get it used off of Amazon or half-price books or a Goodwill store. If you get your hands on the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership and you study it, it will change your life. I don't care if you're 15 or 55. If you have not read that book, go read that book. It will change the way you lead. No question about it. John's got 25 years on me. He's got a whole lot more experience, a whole lot more education than I do. That's why I pay him to mentor me. Which brings me to my very first skill. Now, if you're taking notes, you should write these six down. The very first skill to be a good leader is the ability to say, I was wrong. I screwed it up. I didn't know what I thought I knew. I thought I understood the principle. I didn't. I thought I understood how to lead and influence people. I didn't. I thought I knew what was going on in that particular circumstance or that situation. I thought I had all the facts and all the data. I was making decisions with all of the information available to me. And my information was wrong. And I made a wrong decision. And I've done things that maybe have hurt people or hurt their careers or hurt my own career. The number one skill set to be a good, effective leader in 2024 is the ability to stop where you're at and say, I was wrong. I was out of place. I was out of line. I was ill-informed. I was misinformed. And the ability to backtrack, to say, I'm sorry, to apologize, to reroute, that is the number one skill set for leaders that sadly we simply don't see. There are a whole lot of leaders that feel like, well, I've got the moniker. I am the head of the USAID. I can tell you and it will be so. Even if my data is wrong, even if my facts are wrong, even if my information is wrong, once I say it, it makes it so. No, it doesn't. And just the fact that you made the declaration without all the information says something about your character. That's a problem. But the number one skill set for being an effective leader in 2024 is the ability to say, I was wrong. If you don't have the ability to say, I was wrong, then you're already bordering on some form of narcissism. And while you may be in control, in command, exude a lot of influence, that doesn't necessarily make you an effective leader. It might make you a tyrant, might make you a dictator, might even mean you can be a good manager. But if you can't say, I was wrong, and I'm sorry, then being an effective leader is probably out of your wheelhouse. Now, here's a good thing to know. The beauty of skills are that they're teachable, they're trainable. You can learn to say, I'm sorry. The Fonz didn't do so well with it. Just go back and look it up. Go to YouTube, type in Fonzarelli or the Fonz and I'm sorry, and watch how hard it was for him to say, I'm sorry. He didn't admit wrong very well at all. The better you get at that, the easier it is. The more often you're willing to do it, the easier it is. And I'm going to tell you something else. This is a real neat trick, for lack of a better explanation. After you've admitted that you're wrong a couple of times, not only does it get easier for you, it gets easier for the people around you to help you identify when you're off course. Yeah, there are people around you that care enough about you that trust your leadership to go, hang on, I don't think that's right. I wouldn't do it that way. My wife and I were watching a family on The Amazing Race the other day, a couple. They're engaged. They're not married yet. And her navigational skills and my wife's navigational skills are very, very similar. I love my wife dearly, 30 years together, but I promise you, my wife could get Siri lost. I think there are times that my wife's navigational skills turn here. Turn, no, I meant the other way. But you said right. Yeah, but the blue line went the other way. Okay, gotcha. We've missed exits. We've made U-turns 2 or 3 miles down the road. It happens on a regular basis. Well, this couple had the same problem. She couldn't find their car. And he kept saying, I think it's right over here. And she's like, no, it's this way. And they spent easily 20, 25 minutes wandering in circles trying to find their car. Now, they weren't thrown out of the race. They were close. But in the end, the car was within about 10 steps of where he said it was when she insisted that they turn around. It led to a big argument. It led to his arrogance and berating and rudeness. He was just a jerk about it. But neither one of them ever said, I'm sorry, I was wrong. the number one skill for being an effective and efficient leader in 2024, the number one skill is the ability to say, I was wrong. Number two, coachability. Now, these are very, very similar, but they are not the same. See, the ability to say I was wrong is usually when the correction comes from your peers or those that you lead. Not always, but most often. The ability to be coachable comes from those above you, which means two things. First off, you've got to be willing to be under somebody. You've got to have the type of character that says, I'm willing to submit. I'm willing to recognize there is a greater authority than me. And I don't care how high you achieve in life, how much power and influence, how much money you make, how many people follow you on your social media accounts, or how many people have told you how awesome and wonderful you are, or how much money you make because you oversee hundreds of thousands of people. You can still be wrong, and you still must submit to authority. There will always be someone, at least one someone, one step higher than you. And if you're not willing to submit yourself to authority, to somebody that you'll say, I don't care what the rest of the world is saying about me, about my policies, about my ideas, about my processes, about my procedures, about my productivity, I don't care what anybody else is saying about it, I give you permission to tell me when I'm wrong. I give you the expectation of telling me when I'm wrong. I give you the mandate of telling me when I'm wrong, because I need somebody who's willing to smack me on the top of the head and let me know that was out of line. You said it with the wrong attitude. You said the right words. You said them at the right time. You said them to the right people. Everything was true, but you had the wrong attitude. Ooh, that's a tough one. But see, that's what good leadership is about. That's what effective leadership is about. To turn to somebody and go, was I wrong? And then trust that the person you've submitted to as your authority knows what they're talking about and has your best interest at heart. Coachability. Are you willing to listen? Now, I've got coaching clients that I've fired, and I've got coaching clients that have fired me. So far, I've had no coaching clients who fired me who didn't hire me back. I have no coaching clients who have fired me who did not hire me back. All of them have hired me back. Here's the twist in the ones that I've fired, though. I let them go as clients and refused to renew their contracts because they were not coachable. They didn't want to listen. They wanted the guaranteed outcome. They wanted the proven results. They wanted the money back guarantee, so to speak. But they didn't want to follow the process. I learned from one of my earliest coaches. She said straight up, understand that coaching is like a gym membership. You're going to pay for it whether you go or you don't. And the gym is not at fault of you getting fat. If you get fat, it's because you stuffed too many cookies in your face. Not because the gym didn't work you out hard enough. My job as a coach is to instruct you, to help you become more aware, to help you become more adept in the skill set that you've hired me to train you in. Now, understand that coachability is an attitude issue. Yeah, your number two skill set in being an effective leader in 2024 is coachability, and that's a direct relationship to your attitude. So if you've ever heard someone say attitude is a big part of leadership, it absolutely is. And here's one of the skills that you have to have the right attitude for. That's coachability. Are you willing to listen to someone, anyone? Choose your someone if you have to. Are you willing to listen to someone who has the right, the authority, the wherewithal, the competency to tell you you're wrong, you're out of line, you got a bad attitude, time to fix it? If you're not coachable, leadership probably isn't in your wheelhouse. Number three, compassion for others. See, it's real easy to get into a position of leadership and feel like, I got all this figured out. You're going to do it my way because I've got it all figured out. And you forget that there are those who, well, they have a different circumstance in life and they can't do exactly the things that you told them to. That doesn't mean they're not willing to follow your lead. It doesn't mean they're not willing to submit to your leadership or execute on everything that they're capable of, but part of your job as a leader is to have the compassion to understand that you can't teach a fish to fly in the same way that you can a bird, or a fish to climb a tree in the same way that you can a squirrel. And if you don't have the compassion to recognize that each person on your team, each person you influence has a different skill set, a different modality, a different set of competencies and professionalisms, if you're not willing to acknowledge that and put people in the right place, as was said in Jim Collins' book, The Good to Great. Get the right people on the bus. Get them in the right seat. Understand what their hedgehog is. What are they the best in the world at? When they roll up in a ball and there's one thing they do really well, what is it? As Simon Sinek says, what is their why? If you don't know that about your people, it's hard to be compassionate toward them. It's really hard to listen with genuine empathy because you want one thing. You want what you told them to do to get done. That's more drill sergeant-like. And doesn't ask if they have a bad ankle today or if they woke up sick today. That doesn't care. Just get it done. I don't care how you get it done. I don't care how you feel when it's done. Just get it done. We're in 2024, my friends. In a lot of people's mind, because they've been trained this way since kindergarten, feelings are more important than facts. How I feel about what you told me to do is more important than what you told me to do. How I feel because of the way you said it is more important than whether or not the productivity is accomplished at the end of me doing what you told me to do. So even if I do it and I do a shoddy job and I do it with a bad attitude and I, in the end, don't get it done at all, the lawsuit rests on the attitude you treated me with when you told me to do it. Yeah, true story. Do some homework. You're going to see it. It's all over the place. From academia to the most rigorous. In fact, I heard just yesterday of a police department who's dropping their physical ability standards. Not their agility, just the physical ability test. Now, I took a physical ability test for the police fire EMT when I was applying for the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, which is an airport itself larger than Manhattan. The airport is larger than Manhattan. The police, fire, and EMS are trained across all three. The test alone to pass the physical agility test took over an hour. It was rigorous. There are people who could not carry that dummy as far as we had to carry, who could not raise that hose to the third floor tower as they were expected to, could not drag that 5-inch charged hand line the 50 feet they had to drag it and the time they had to drag it. There were a lot of people who walked away that day disqualified because of their physical competence. That was in 2002. If those same people had failed that same test in 2024, according to the new standards, they could have sued the department for making them feel bad. That's not a joke. But see, if you're not compassionate as a leader, you don't realize these things, you don't take other people into consideration, you could find yourself at the brunt of a lawsuit because they don't like the way you made them feel. Number four, candor. Now, there's an old biblical phrase for this, but I like Jordan Peterson's way of saying it too. The biblical phrase says, speak the truth in love. Meaning, you got to apply the truth, candor, with the last skill set, and that's compassion. They kind of balance out. Don't just say the truth because it's true without regard for other people's feelings, but also don't just be so feely-feely that you don't tell the truth. Did these pants make me look fat? No, that was the donuts. Okay, that's the truth, but that's not very compassionate. See, the ability to have candor in 2024 fits Jordan Peterson's rule from the 12 Rules of Life. He said, always tell the truth, or at least don't lie. Sometimes the best thing said isn't. There's a time to hold your tongue. And sometimes in candor, the truth will reveal itself without you saying anything. A stupid mistake always has consequences. That's the way this world works. Sometimes telling the truth averts the consequences and prevents the problem. Sometimes telling the truth just causes a bigger problem when the truth would have revealed itself anyway. Candor. Can you tell the truth with respect? Can you tell the truth with compassion? Can you tell the truth in love? Can you tell the truth understanding that the person you're telling the truth to is another human being with feelings, with dignity, with respect? Their expectations are pretty high of you as a leader that you will have the ability to tell the truth without hurting their feelings. Not always possible, always worth the effort. It pays big dividends. When people feel like they can trust you to be honest with them, to exhibit integrity, to have the kind of character that says, I can't just let this slide because it's wrong and it's damaging. But I'm not going to tell you in such a way that you're humiliated or embarrassed by it. I'm going to tell you the truth in a way that when I'm done, you'll feel better for having known the truth than for having gotten away with it. Number five, an abiding desire to learn. Something deep down inside you just says, I've got to learn. That's why I have so many books. Trust me, I was in my early 20s before I ever read a book cover to cover. The first book I read cover to cover of any consequence was This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti. Right after that was Becoming a Person of Influence by John Maxwell, and then Bringing Up Boys by James Dobson, and then Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. And those books redirected my life. I haven't stopped studying since. I am firmly convinced, and everybody that I know, every leadership guru, every successful leader that I have studied tells you, leaders are readers. If you want to keep growing in leadership, you got to keep going and reading. Never stop reading. Always be learning. And then also understand, AI will give you a lot of shortcuts. AI can do a lot of things for you. AI can also lie to you. I don't know if you know that. When you ask AI a question, it does pull from a whole lot of data and a whole lot of information out there. But maybe you didn't know that 48 million medical records were loaded into Meta's AI system. 2 days in, those conducting the experiment did not like what AI was learning, and they shut the program down. AI can lie to you, and those who manage AI can cause AI to lie to you, to hide information from you, to produce misinformation. It's one of the reasons I collect books, especially old books. I like to look back and think, what did they think about this notion 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago? Yes, I have books over 100 years old. And when you listen to the philosophies of leadership and management from then, it will mess with your head. You want a really good one? Go find the first grade primer. This is the book they taught first graders to read from at the development of our country before public education was public education. I have to use a dictionary to read this book because what they taught in the first grade then was so much more advanced that my 12th grade high school education can't keep up. You think I'm kidding? Go find one. Take a look at it. I also have a book that was given to school counselors in 1921 to inform school counselors how they should educate teachers and students on the new world of psychology. That one will mess with your head too. Yeah, some deep stuff. If you didn't think there was a plan, a program, you got another thing coming if you want to be an effective leader. Skill number five in 2024 of essential leadership skills. Skill number five, always be learning. Always be learning. Abiding desire to learn is skill number five of being an effective leader in 2024. And the last one, surprise, surprise, strong communication skills. The sixth skill, in my opinion, of being an effective leader in 2024 is strong communication skill. That means the ability to formulate and articulate ideas. Not just to hear and regurgitate, but to formulate and articulate. There's a great word I learned a few years ago from a Dr. Rob Brewer. He said, I don't just want you to deliver the information that I've written down. I want you to synthesize it. I want you to own it. I want it to become yours. And that doesn't just mean you've taken what I've said and put it in new words. John Maxwell told us in our certification training in 2012, he said, look, the first time you quote me, John Maxwell says. And the next time you quote me, say, I read it somewhere, maybe it was John Maxwell who said. And the third time you quote me, if you haven't owned that information, don't put it in your mouth. If you're not living it. Now, I want to give credit where credit is due because John Maxwell has made a huge impact in my life, as has Dale Carnegie and Jordan Peterson and many, many others. I quote them because I want you to go dig into what they've said. I want you to get that information and get it inside you. But believe me, if you were to look at my own writings, you will see the synthesis and the application of the things that I've studied over the last 35 years. The information that I've dug into, asking myself, what does that mean? How does it apply to me? What should I do differently now that I know that? That's what it means to synthesize the information that you're reading. the ability then to articulate that back, to take that complicated subject from a high level, from the 400-page book down to the gas pump conversation, that's the skill of good communication, and every leader must master it. And if you have a hard time with that, visit storypowercoach.com, because that's exactly what I do. I help leaders tell better stories better, select better stories, tell them with more effectiveness, so you can deliver them to those who need to hear them. In candor, with compassion, with coachability. Because you never stop learning. You'll always have to be able to say, I was wrong. And you'll always have to have at least one someone in your life to whom you can say, will you tell me when you notice that I'm wrong? If you want to be an effective leader in 2024, master these six skills. Add to them everything else you can get your hands on. Be a constant learner. You got to be coachable. You got to have the ability to say I was wrong. You got to have compassion for others. You got to be able to speak the truth, or at least don't lie. You got to have an abiding desire to learn. Never stop learning. And then take what you learned and be masterful at communicating what you've learned by experience. If you'll do those six things, you'll be an effective leader in 2024 and in years to come. I'm J. Lauren Norris with Leading Leaders Podcast for Tell It Like It Is TV. Have a blessed day.
Lauren is a master teacher on storytelling, and I learned so much. I'm really going to have to sit down and go back through everything, and I think I might have to have some more coffees with Lauren, but it was totally worth my time, and I really highly recommend it if you're looking to grow your ministry, grow your business, grow your career. Lauren will serve you well.
Thank you.
Subscribe now for our extensive video library of leadership lessons promoting faith, family, and freedom.